Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on? This is In Plain English, and we are doing our book club. I believe Lady J will be coming on fairly soon here. I'll go ahead and check to see if she's in. Okay. We'll be doing our book club. We're doing this every 5 days, so we're reviewing days 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the specific book club. And our next installment of the book club, let me actually check the website because it has that information on there, which is www.inplainenglish.com. Let's see what I'm clicking on the PDF, mousing over the image with the leaves on it. This image of the actual book. Our next read will be on February the 20th, and that will be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So coming up next Friday. That will be this Friday coming up. So be on the lookout for that in regards to that. Hey, we're gonna go through these 5 days, and man, I read a lot of these chapters, and man, I'll tell you what, man. These chapters were kind of, you know, as the days went on, they're a little corny. I have to be kind of honest, for the most part, honest about a lot of the stuff. Some of the stuff was like, this one of the days, I forget what, oh, there she is. Let me go ahead and open up the microphone. This is Lady J. Lady J, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening, everyone.
All right. Good evening, Lady J. I was on speaker. I might have sounded a little bit crazy. But yeah, some of the stuff in these days, I think it was either day 2 or day 3, it came off to me really, really corny and soft, just to be honest. But if you like, we'll go ahead and start where it all begins, which is day 1. Before we get started, did you have anything you wanted to share before we got rolling? Or?
No, we can start.
Let's get it in here. Okay. On day 1, stood out to you on day 1, titled "It All Starts with God." What really jumped out to you on that actual day?
Well, I think for me, "It All Starts with God" was that usually when you, I consider this kind of like a self-help book or something to kind of point you in the direction when, you know, you're trying to figure out life for yourself and for I guess, your own peace of mind. For me, I think the opening of the book was good. It All Starts with God, because a lot of times when we're searching for answers, the first place we want to look is within ourselves. Like, our first whole purpose is to say, you know, well, what about me? I need to find myself. But it seems like it kind of sets the premise for the book is like, well, no, you're pretty much already found. You have to find God, because God already knows who you are, you know, but do you really know him? So I think that for me, like, the first day 1 was a big eye-opener that it's really not all about me, that everything starts with God. And I think a lot of times, at least for me, I can't speak for other people, as I forget that.
What I did like day 1, and what was really, that's good stuff, and that's what it is. It really stood out to me was that, the first sentence, of course, is not about you, like, which is often you don't really hear that enough, I think, in this current society, that, like, really, like, dude, like, it's not about you. Like, it's not about your followers. It's not about you. It's about God. We don't hear that enough. That's one mm-hmm. thing that's really, I like stuff like that, that's straight from the hip. The next thing I like, too, in this day was that God, it's page 24 where it talks about God, in the third paragraph, it says God is not just the starting point of your life, he is the source of it. I thought that was good stuff, that, you know, everything, forget everything. You take God away, you don't have a life itself. So I thought that was really, really good stuff. And then I kind of felt like, yeah, we're getting a little bit flowery here. Like, you discover your identity and purpose through the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, I didn't really agree directly with that. I was like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, it's more or less like we connect with the will of God, and then he informs us of our purpose. Because, again, this chapter or this day is all about God being unapologetic with what he's put into us. So everything in us that has been placed in us, where we're born, our accent, our height, our race, all that stuff, is unapologetic by God. God's like, this is how I'm going to make you, period. Period. And this is my choice. You have no choice in this. Your laugh, the curve of your nose, the shape
that's
of your eye,
too.
All these things. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said that's definitely day two. You're not an accident.
Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, I might be getting on day two. To me, it's kind of all much together.
Right.
But yeah, in the second point too, on page 24, he said his purpose for your life predates your conception. He did it without your input. You don't get to choose your purpose, and that's another thing that's very humbling. Like, it's very humbling to realize that I didn't even choose my purpose. Like, and in my job, my career, my hobbies can often have nothing to do with my purpose. And here's another thing that we'll talk about a little bit later. Those things can bring me lots of joy, happiness, and excitement, but they may not be my purpose.
Okay,
you know,
so I was
go ahead.
So I was at the hairdresser last week, and one of the stylists, male stylists, was talking about how you can have a purpose, and that could be God's purpose for you, but if you go about it in the wrong way, then you're still not fulfilling his purpose. You may reach from point A to point B, but if you don't do it in God's way, reaching to point B, you have not fulfilled your purpose. Say, for instance, your purpose in life is to be a minister,
mm-hmm.
and you go about bringing people to God in the wrong way, but you brought these people to God some type of way, or you brought them into the church. I think that's a better way to put it. You brought them into the church for whatever reason, but if you have not brought them in the way that God wants you to bring them, have you really fulfilled your purpose? That's kind of like what you're saying. Like, you may think this is your purpose or whatever, but God has a different purpose for you, or at least you're not portraying that purpose in the way that he wants you to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I was thinking also in regards to that, it's like, you could be a very, let's say, you would be a very talented concert pianist, like trained from a kid, didn't really have a choice with the training, you trained from a kid to be a concert pianist, and then you're like, and you're great at that, but there's something inside your heart that says there's something else that you need to do, you know, and I keep on thinking about that, and I think that's why a lot of times people or we have internal conflicts. Because there's something else in us that is trying to come out of us, and that's why I think sometimes we may kind of feel kind of some kind of way about doing something, even though we're successful. And then other times, I think as well, too, like, you could just be having a great time. And you could just be, you know, just balling out of control and not even really connect to your purpose because you're having so much fun, you're having so much excitement, you're doing all these things that are distracting you from your purpose to the point to where you don't even take time out to even see what the will of God is, which to me, I feel like that's what was to me in some of the days, some of the rubs that I was like, wait a minute. You know, not everyone's depressed that's not fulfilling their purpose. People aren't, not everybody's like, oh, I really feel terrible because I'm not. Some people are having a good time doing absolutely nothing. I'll go ahead and put it that way.
Coasting through. They're coasting through life.
Yeah. I mean, and getting awards while they coast, and people are cheering for them while they coast, or they're living their life. They're doing, you know, doing them. For instance, I'll use another example. Let's say there's a reality TV star, you know, woman reality television person. She's known for selfies. She's on the red carpet. She's having a good time, making lots of money, bottle service, traveling the world. But she's having a good time, but she may not be living her purpose. And I think that's something I think later on in the days that I came across, those things started to be unveiled to me, that just because it's God's purpose doesn't always mean that it's going to be some fun, fashionable, fantastic thing that everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, that's great. Like, God's purpose might be for you to actually struggle. For instance, I'll use one more example, and we'll jump to day two if we're cool with that. The rich young ruler. Jesus told the rich young ruler, hey, you know, sell your riches. And I don't think God means this for everybody. But for the rich young ruler, Jesus told him, sell your riches, give them to the poor, and follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. And the dude was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I got a lot of money. I'm out. So I think some of the writing, I think it was either day two, or it's either day two or day three where I was like, come on, dude. I think it was day three where it was like he was a little bit buttery with it, a little soft and cotton candy-ish. But I definitely did like day one. It was kind of like cold water to the face, like, whoa, like, it's not about me. It's about God. It's not my decision. God made me as an expression of his love, and I need to and I think that's day two. I need to manifest that love in the way I've been created to manifest it. Day two, you're not an accident. What stood out to you in this chapter about you're not an accident? Or this day, I should say.
I think one of the things for me is It was a quote in here. He says, the Bible tells us God is love. It doesn't say God has love. He is love. Love is the essence of God's character. I think sometimes we forget that. We're like, oh, God loves us. But it's not, I mean, of course he loves us, but God is love. Like, he created the word. Like, he is the definition of it. So
yeah.
Within that, you know what I mean? So within that, it's not just, because sometimes when we think of love, we think of all the good things about love. You know, like someone loves you and it's all, I can't think of a word, it's all lovey-dovey or, you know,
mm-hmm.
honey
yeah.
and pie, and it's all sweet and nice. But God also punishes us. And you can be punished mm-hmm. out of love. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always
yeah.
great. He's doing it because he knows that that's what you need to fulfill, I guess, your purpose. So when
yeah.
we were talking about struggling and things like that, like, you need, that's love. Like, you know how people say tough love, you know,
mm-hmm.
parents thank their children because they love them because they want to do right. Like, God does the same thing. And so I never really thought about God's love for us as being we can be punished out of love. I never really thought about it like that. So I get the you're not an accident. I don't have the same feel as some people do who have grown up in different situations. Like, you know, you and I, we had to, like our parents were married. I was planned, you know what I mean? So I don't have that type of, I could have been an accident for my parents or whatever. So I never thought to think about if I was an accident or not. But to me, in this chapter, it was the whole God is love that stood out for me that I had not thought about before.
Yeah, and I like the fact that that to me is the big thing in this day where God, it doesn't say God has love, he says God, he is love. Love's the essence of God's character. Yeah, that to me was very interesting, and that really made me sit back and think, like, that. Again, and this really challenged me because it's like God intentionally made every single person on this earth as an expression or a manifestation of some aspect of him or some aspect of love. And I was really like, yo, wait a minute. Like, that's deep. Like, that's really deep. That every single person is a manifestation of God's expression, a manifestation of God, manifestation of love, in the expression of Lady J, or in plain English, or another person. They're all are manifestations of that. Which to me, that takes out a lot of aggression, violence, hostility towards people. When you think, wait a minute, like, what's God's purpose for their life? Because God again made that person. God made every single person. So it's like, wait a minute. And again, like you were talking about too, like, there are some people, which is a tough call when he says, you're not an accident. But you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, I was born by a single mother, or I was born over here, in this tough situation, so on and so forth. And God, in his infinite knowledge and love, chose to have me born in this way with this language of this culture. It's just really, to me, it was very, it helped me to really value or to really look at the human race in a different way, to look at people in a different way, and all kinds of the treatment of people, being nice and kind to people in a whole different way. So yeah, that's something that definitely stood out to me. That a life has profound meaning. I thought that was really, really, really cool as well. And this on this day in regards to it. What else stood out to you? Anything else? Or other than the love of that pretty much did it for day two?
That did it because I have a lot of stuff highlighted for day three.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think I drew like an angry face. Yep. Day three really, I mean, I was like, come on, dude. Some of that stuff was just, ugh. But anyway, yeah, let's go ahead and get in day three. What drives your life? Like, what stood out to you in this particular day? Or just go ahead and go with what it meant to you.
Many people are driven by resentment and anger. Ooh. I actually put a note in there and said, that can be me at that time. And I think, you know, when people say, I'm going to show you or whatever, when they get upset about something and they're like, I'm going to show you I can do it. I'm going to show you this and that. And then they do whatever they need to do. But I don't know if that's such a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I had big time beef with that section. I'm like,
why did you have
really
beef with it?
I had beef because I'm like, you know, it's saying they hold on to hurts and they never get over them. Like, never get over them? Like, that's to me, Yeah, that was a section that really made me sick. Like when he said, "For your own sake, learn from it and let it go." I'm like, really? Are we really gonna go there with forgiveness? Seriously? Like, I'm like, seriously, we're on autopilot philosophy. Resentment always hurts you. And then, again, resentment always hurts you more than it does the other person you resent. Really? If I punch the person that I resent in the face, who's hurting more than that? If I'm constantly rubbing it in their face, who's hurting more than that? Well, the person wants me to forgive them, and I'm constantly reminding them of the wrong that they did. Who's it hurting, me or them?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm the baby's mom, and the baby's dad, let's say, cheated on me with my girlfriend, fool who I would be, and then I say, you know what, screw you, Devontae, you're not going to see the child because you violated my trust, but I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Sorry don't do nothing. Sorry ain't going to make you not sleep with my girlfriend. Sorry, but I'm sorry. Will you just please just forgive me? No, you're going to feel the pain that I felt by not being able to see my kid. To me, that to me, I think, is what unforgiveness looks like. It holds people back from stepping into the future who have sinned and who have made a wrong mistake and who are guilty, and you constantly hold them in 1984, and you never let them come into 2015. You constantly bring it up. You constantly bring it up. Go ahead.
But then you have that. And what does he have to be? Can it be like? Can his name be Aaron? Can it have been Aaron?
Aaron. Well, you know what? Let's go with Philip. How about that?
Philip. I'll take Philip. But what should we name the woman? We'll name her
Amber.
Amber. Okay, so
yeah.
Amber has all this hatred on her heart for the father of her child. That is not healthy for her, because now in her next relationship, if she has one, she is untrusting of that man because of the things that she's held on through with Philip. Additionally, she does. Because if you can't forgive and move past one relationship, you are bringing that into the next relationship. And there's no
That is if you deal with it a specific way. But there are some women that will be unforgiving, disrespectful, and nasty towards a baby's father. But the next dude, they treat him like a king. You know,
yeah, but then
so
guess
they,
what happens?
If he's done good, if he does a man good, but when that dude comes around, she dumps all of her hatred, frustration, and unforgiveness on the dude that treated her wrong, and she's like, I feel so much better, and then she goes about her business. But you're right, there are some people that hold that in, and a lot of them, they're not really being honest because they're not being, you know, they're holding the stuff in. They're dumping it on different people, the baby, their friends, their family, other guys that they're dating. But I believe there's other women, and I think I've seen this, other women that they find out who the baby dad is, and they just ride him as long as they can ride him and figure out ways to make his life hell. But I do agree there are some people that hurt everybody except for the person that hurt them. But there are some people that hurt specifically the person that hurt them, and they stay on that person as long as they can. And it brings them joy to hurt the person that hurt them. That's the person that I'm speaking of in regards to unforgiveness. And I think a lot of times we don't, and that was one of my rubs. I think we don't actually deal with that particular scenario. We make it seem like, oh, if you just would just let go and you won't be a victim. What I'm saying is sometimes the woman that hurts gets hurt, she becomes a victimizer. of the person that sinned against her is what I'm trying to get at. She becomes evil towards the guy, and it's good to everybody else.
But child molesters do the same thing. Sometimes child molestation is a cycle that the perp was molested as a child, so then the perp molests the child also. But they're never, like, even if you think that they moved on and everything, that, like, hatred is heavy. Like, it is a heavy burden to bear for anyone. Like, you cannot sit here and have such a deep-seated, because it's evil. Hatred is evil. Evilness on your heart. And you can't tell me that you're happy with it. Because every time that you look at this man and you tell him, you know, he ain't nothing or whatever, when you're saying that, you're scrunching your face up. When you're saying that, your blood pressure's up. Like, all of that is not healthy for you.
Yeah, Little
Phil is going to resent you when he grows up, when daddy says, I tried everything, and your mom did A, B, and C. And at some point, little Phil is going to be like, how come you kept me away from my father? At some point, that's what little Phil's going to feel. And then it's going to come back on mom again.
So yeah, you know what? In that, you're dead on. You're dead on. So, yeah, in the moment, you're getting back at the person by using the child and inadvertently hurting the child. But in the very end, what you're doing is the child will realize, oh, my mom's been hurting me all this time. And hurting my father, and then again, it's going to hurt her because then the child will be like, "I don't want to really be around you, mom. Like you're a petty, selfish individual and mean." You know.
Yeah.
But it did seem a little bit like, I don't know. It just seemed a little bit kind of those statements. I just hate to hear those statements because it's like
the cliche.
You know. There it is. It's like. It's like, oh, whatever. I'll just say this, you know, like, so on and so forth. So.
And you know what I wrote? I wrote how. Yeah.
I notice. There's no real kind of, they just say, just let it go. So then it's like, we'll continue to go. And that's the point. Then. You don't really address the nature of the pain because it's like they could have like raped you or killed your father while they were laughing. But let it go. It's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt them. They've moved on. Like, but everything in you says, well, what about him? You know,
right.
Where's the justice, you know? Which I think a lot of times I feel like we don't really get into. In Christianity, like justice. Like, where will the justice reside to people that do wrong based on people that actually hold things inside of themselves and don't, like he says, and never let them go because there's no kind of, again, it's cliches. I'm sorry. Yeah. Continue. What else stood out to you in that particular day?
The next one was many people are driven by fear. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. Wow. And then, but I do like this one. You must move against it with weapons of faith and love. So if it, love equals God, because God is love, you have to have faith in that love.
Oh, yeah, in this section here, what stood out to me is I was thinking maybe they should have given the people that are afraid the advice that they gave the people that were unforgiving, meaning for your own sake,
let it go, and
then let it go, because that's something that's occurring inside of yourself. That's something that you can really deal with yourself. You can say, you know what, let me just go ahead and let it go and just put a step forward and move, make these decisions. That's what, you know, I was like, oh, okay. That's something that stood out to me And another thing, too, I thought was very vague, and we hear this a lot, more cliches that were really grating my, like a cheese grater to my spirit, when right before it says the section where people are driven by guilt, I'm like, oh, Lord. When he said, we are products of our past, and I'm like, past what?
Oh, I put that on Facebook.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
Yes, I put that on Facebook. We are a product of our past, but our past, wait, I can't remember how, I'm trying to find it. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. And I put it on Facebook for two reasons. One is because I went to this child protective training one time over on the East Coast. And the first thing that this psychologist opened up with was, and it was just basically about child abuse and child trauma, and they talked about how all of our reactions, all the way that we are right now has a lot to do with our childhood. And the person that you are has a lot to do with the childhood joys and traumas that you had in life. And they were saying that people's issues come from their childhood traumas. And the way that they deal with them, we have to give, you know, people the tools to deal with their childhood traumas appropriately. And I was thinking about that. It kind of coincided with we are products of our past, but we're products of our childhood. Or let's just say our life, your past is, you know, 30 minutes ago or whatever. But just because something happened 30 minutes ago or something happened 30 years ago, you don't have to be imprisoned by whatever that is. In the conference, they were saying that a lot of kids who, I guess there's like a scale and you have these different types of traumas. And if you have a certain number, your likelihood of being addicted to drugs is higher, or your likelihood of committing suicide is higher. And though those may not be rational responses to a person, they are responses to childhood trauma, but they don't have to be. So you don't have to be imprisoned by your situation or your path. You can, I don't want to say learn to let it go, but you can live above it. I have a friend, though, that responded to my, I'm trying to find it. She is actually a therapist. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. Here we are. She's actually a therapist, but she is a very religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I prefer we are products of our choices. The past is just information. And then I countered it, well, some past information isn't a choice, such as being a victim of child abuse, but I do understand your point. And then she wrote, of course, being a victim of child abuse is not a choice, but how one deals with it. Every choice is one's best effort at meeting his or her own needs in the moment.
And, Janie, that is one thing that stood out to me, his vagueness in what he said. Because when I read this, I was like, well, wait a minute, past what? We're product of our past decisions is what I thought. But I didn't like what you said. You shined a whole nother light on what he said in regards to your past. Because, again, this goes back to, like you say, child abuse, goes back to, you know, molestation, violence, brutality, different things that occurred to you, which shapes a lot of your reality. In addition to your decisions, in concert with those two things, with that together. So it's like how people treat you is one aspect of your past, and your decisions. Your decisions in life is one aspect of your past too. So, but to me, I didn't even think about that in regards to past. I was just looking at it like, oh, well, we're products of our decisions. We're products of what we do. And he talked about how Moses killed somebody, which, you know, that was just like, that's just what he did. But he got turned into a leader. It talks about how Gibeon was a coward, but he was turned into a courageous hero. And I was like, oh, okay, that's the way I saw it. But I do see that, you know, two people's decisions may be the same, but they can come from a very different past. And meaning one person that rises above a whole bunch of hardship and pain who makes the same decision as someone that's catered to and looked after, their decision to me weighs a lot more. Which brings me to slavery. And we're gonna have to. this day was just really great. But I just have to say this before I pretty much let it go. But it was bringing me to slavery. It was page 34. It was 34. Page 34, where it talks about you need hope to cope. I'm like, what? Like, really? It also says knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. When life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. Without it, nothing is bearable. And I was like, then I think about slaves. Then page 35, hope comes from having a purpose. And I'm like, and I kept on thinking about what were slaves thinking about their life and their purpose, and what hope did they have? How did they navigate through their life, and how did they make their decisions? And then when it talks about we're made with meaning, what? How would they deal with, not to say that exists now, maybe in some places, not the way it was back in the day in America, but I really found that very interesting, that I guess my perspective in the purpose that God has for me is that it's more or less like God has given me everything I need to be great. I just have to grab onto it and do it. Like it's not something that is contingent on what someone else does. But other people have had, like, harder times than I have, you know. And I found that very interesting, that some of these things to me didn't really ring true, because it's like there's some people that are in really hard situations where this stuff, these words don't work. Like, you need hope to cope, like, cope with
how, like, I guess, know. Like I said, some of, and I'm hoping maybe the book, as we get deeper into it, explains is, well, where's this hope coming from? Like, you're saying that the weapons I need are love and faith. How do I get them? If I don't have faith, how do I obtain faith? Do you see what I mean? Like, you're telling me these are the things that I need to do, but I don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering maybe as we get into it, I don't know.
I think so, and I found some really neat stuff. We're gonna have to, I guess, go ahead and cut it short. But I mean, again, day three, I was just really really kind of miffed at it. I'm like, wait a minute, like this sounds more like something that appeals to a certain kind of person. But the more I read, as the days went on, I started to see, okay, well, this is about God. This is about, having faith. Because again, just like what stood out to me in day two, that, you know, we all are expressions of God's love. And I'll go ahead and say this, Dick Gregory said something like this: God made the slave as well as the slave master.
Oh.
And it's like, And I just think about that, like that we are here for each other, and we're not to take advantage of other people, because they are expressions of God, which again, it just really humbles me to think, like, I have to make sure to treat people right. Everybody that's in my life, I have to make sure to treat people right, because, like, again, like as he talks about it in day, you know, day four, we're made to last forever. And day five, seeing life from God's view, I start to see more and more we have a responsibility to our fellow man. And whether anybody makes any laws or not, we still need to do right, regardless of whether doing right is against the law. And that's why, to me, I brought up slavery, because I'm like, well, we got to care for people, because people are made in the image of God. And this is not something that should ever be taken lightly, ever be taken lightly.
Right.
But, oh, man, this is a good book. It's some of the stuff, some of the stuff, good, but I like it. We'll definitely touch base later on this week. Miss Lady J, I appreciate you coming aboard. Hopefully, we will have it at a better time Friday, so that we won't be up all kinds of nights. But I do appreciate you checking this out and being part of this. And we will go ahead and end on a song that actually talks about, you know, us being living our purpose in an interesting way, which is More of You what's his name? By Kenton Jones. And again, thank you guys so much for checking us out. This is In Plain English and Lady J signing out. You take care.
Yeah, have a good night. God bless.
It's not about me, but it's about you, Lord Jesus, and how you saved me from this dying world. I just want to say that you're my Lord, that's my confession of faith. I want you more.
Give me more of your spiritual amenities. Thank you, God.